Hi, my name's Sean Shaler. That's my friend Chris Ford, aka The Objective Geek. Welcome to Avatar The Last Podcasters. Happy March Madness, I guess. Chris, before we jump into what we're going to talk about today, how are you? What have you been up to? How you been?
You know what? My week has been a week. I saw Attack on Titan live, same way we saw Avatar live in concert. Saw Attack on Titan live in concert with my daughter, and it was, I don't know if it was better than Avatar. My nostalgia and love Avatar, if I put that aside, then Attack on Titan one's probably better. And that's mostly just, not because necessarily the music bears, but because like they had a wider range of vocals and instruments. They had a whole choir, they had a lead singer, and she freaking killed it. The conductor was freaking jamming, like she was on, like I was just like bobbing my head, like dang, this music is dope. But that was a really great concert, really cool experience.
More diverse music in general than Avatar, right?
Yeah, like Avatar's kind of like, all right, we'll use some Sungi horns and violins and, you know, your regular orchestra stuff. While Attack on Titan concert was like, all right, we got a lead guitar, we got this guy on the drums, we got the bass, we got a synthesizer, piano, and of course your, you know, regular orchestra stuff, and a choir and a singer. So yeah, it was just more.
That's easy to believe. Yeah. And your daughter went with you, right?
On the yeah.
And
yeah,
she loved it.
She's in good time. Yeah,
fantastic.
Not to be a downer, my dog died, but she is no.
You've,
sorry,
that dog. I feel like was old when I met you. To be fair, it wasn't really, but it is.
Yeah, she was probably.
How old was she in 2013?
Should have been like 5.
Okay, so nope, I'm being dramatic.
Yeah. No, but she lived a long time. She mm-hmm. she would have been 17 in May, so she lived well beyond her. She died peacefully on her bed. And but yeah, so yeah, my week has been up, just a little bit down. Like, I've just been expecting her to pass for like the last 6 months, or like the last 4 months. But I always said to myself, like, in December, like, I'm not sure she'll make it to her next birthday. And then, like, in January, I was like, she hasn't had an issue in a while. And then a couple days ago, I was like, she's not moving too well. And then I even Googled that day, like, when do you know? And when it's time to put down your dog? And then 4:30 comes around, and I'm like, oh, she died.
You should have taken that question to Grok, gone unhinged with it.
Yeah.
Grok, when do you know? And Grok's like, yesterday. I'm very sorry to hear that your dog passed, and also sorry that it's probably your children's first pet passing. Is that an accurate statement? That's always probably traumatic for children.
Yeah, they're pretty fine. Yeah. You know, I think everybody cried a little bit on the first day, then after that. But it's still weird. It's like, there's still stuff in my head of like, oh, I gotta let the dog out. Or like, oh, I got a dog outside. And like, no, Chris, get that out your head. But anyway.
Do you have to have like, not awkward, but you know, uncomfortable conversations with the kids at all?
I mean, I don't even consider those things uncomfortable. Okay. You know, I just nail it every time. I'm no, I mean, there was, you know, conversations and stuff like that, but
I'm glad you didn't go with the, you know, went to live on a farm route or anything like that. I feel like this is one of those times where, you know what, that's a decent, they're old enough at this time, you can probably rip that band-aid off a little bit, have the real talk. Yeah. They all watch anime, right, Chris? They've all seen somebody die on a TV.
Not only my daughter watches anime.
Oh, okay. Oh, never mind. Maybe I'm jumping the gun.
Well, I guess maybe they watch a little bit.
I was just trying to decide if this would be like their first exposure to death, or if, no, they've probably seen.
No, it is.
Okay.
I think it is for the most part. It's okay. It's good first exposure.
It's, yeah. Well, Chris, nicely handled. I'm sure you nailed it. I don't, is there like, is it worse if somebody's watching you and giving you feedback on you, the way you handle it? It's like, listen, you kind of caught it with the middle one, but the younger one, you didn't really give him that one-on-one attention. Can you please stop watching my family while we talk?
It's like the, it's like if I was failing, it's like the backup, you know, those commercials and like.
The one where he's having the conversation with the boy is my favorite. I don't even remember who the backup they sent in is. It's just funny to think of sending somebody else in to have the talk.
Yeah.
Professional backup. Teddy Bridgewater? Might be Teddy Bridgewater. I forget.
I don't think it was Teddy Bridgewater. I want
to
say
Teddy Bridgewater is the one who's listening to the girl in the restaurant.
Yeah.
I don't remember who the one in the room is.
Yeah.
Who's the one in the room?
I don't either.
I can't remember. Decent commercials, though. Or at least it would be if I could remember what company they actually represented, which is usually a sign of good marketing, and I can't. It's an insurance something. I want to say Progressive?
I think so.
It's either Progressive or Geico. Like, it's that level of
decent
enough for decent enough to be amusing comedy.
That
level.
It's not Shop with the General.
No, not the Shaq General. Oh, those are just atrocious. I do like the Mayhem commercials just because I like the Vulture, and I know I'm supposed to know his name. What's the other guy's name? I'm dying. The main guy who's the bald guy from State Farm.
J.K. Simmons?
Yes, thank you.
No, I'm sorry. No, that's Farmers.
Farmers. Okay, no, but so Vulture is State Farm. J.K. Simmons is Farmers. But I like both of them just because those guys are in it. And I'm like, oh, it's him. Anyway, that's we don't peddle insurance. And if we did, we did a poor job because we just sold you like four.
I mean, I do work for insurance. Well,
Chris
that's health insurance.
Does peddle insurance. He doesn't sell insurance. Chris, if I watch up to you.
Peddle?
If I walked up to you right now, I'm like, can I buy your insurance?
I hate when people ask me insurance questions. I'm like, I don't know. I wish I knew. I don't know what deductibles is. I do analysis and other stuff. I don't know why this and that in your stuff. I can help maybe. I can tell you what questions maybe to ask.
I can point you to somebody else who might be able to answer your question, and that's probably the maximum. Heather knows a lot about life insurance and funeral insurance, but that's about it. That's about it. Mm-hmm. Though it does lead to, as you can imagine, then people ask her about their other insurance. She'd be like, I don't know your dental. I'm sorry, I can't. Those are not packaged in a way that applies to me. Anyway, I'm glad the concert was good. Sorry to hear about your dog. I'm sure as soon as Charlie passes away, we will probably be inconsolable for a week and then replace him immediately, because I can't imagine Heather not having a dog. I don't think.
I don't think we'll get a new dog anytime soon. I don't have that in my plans.
It's a commitment that admittedly is easier probably now that we work from home, but it's a commitment. How do people train new dogs before we worked from home, Chris? How did that go? Tyler McGee used to drive home every day at lunch. He lived in Lawrence. He used to drive home every day at lunch for his dog. I was like, I don't want to drive that much once a day. I moved two times in my life to avoid driving 30 minutes one way. Much less twice. That's outrageous. Chris, I've been playing a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! Trying to put the finishing touches on the deck before we started Yu-Gi-Oh! Party at Con. Which, you know, hold on. Is there Wi-Fi at Con? Because would there need to be for us to play? Well, then that's pointless.
Possibly.
I didn't mull that over very well. Huh. Let me think.
Might be able to connect. Yeah.
To some Wi-Fi. hotspot our phone to our Switch so we can play Yu-Gi-Oh! In 2026.
Yeah.
Played a lot of that.
If you have service.
If I have, which I won't because I'm on Mint, so I'll be deprioritized, which is funny because it's like next door to T-Mobile Center and I can't get service on my T-Mobile-owned phone. That's fine. I save so much. Listen, I will pitch Mint, Chris. I save so much money because I'm on Wi-Fi 98% of my awake hours every week, and I don't need that much data in the other 2% of those hours. So listen, if you need to save a few bucks, take a peek at Mint. See if you can live that life. And if you go to con, it won't work, and I'm sorry. Just disconnect and enjoy whatever big event you're at. Just live in the moment, and you can still use your camera. It's great. Anyway, I've been playing Yu-Gi-Oh! And then we do love March Madness in this house. We consider it like our favorite this opening weekend. It's probably our favorite sport event, I think. Yeah, I think so. I think it's our favorite sport this first 4 days of March Madness. So big fans. We always fill out a bracket just against each other. It's the only one we fill out. I don't think anybody at Heather's work does it. Nobody at my work does it. We just fill one. We each fill one out. We print it. We sit on the table, make fun of each other, and then the winner ends up like the loser has to cook them their preferred dinner. It's very low stakes. But I love it. And then you see all these. There's a player on Iowa. It's almost like a friend of a friend situation. And he's a very good player. And he's from Liberty, Missouri. And then he went to the small college. What's that college that, oh my goodness, I feel terrible. Northwest Missouri State. And there's that one lady from Payless who went there and she always sported the stuff. Anyway, he went there and he followed his coach to Drake. And then Drake was really good. And then he followed that same coach to Iowa. And so like at every level, he's just been really good, which is impressive. So weirdly pulling for like Iowa as like an underdog. Oh, it's a lot of fun. And then usually...
Are those the Hawkeyes?
Iowa is the Hawkeyes. Iowa State.
I always go against
Cyclones.
Them. Every time. Go against them. Because when I lived in an apartment, there's this lady who lived above me and my wife. And we called her Stomper. And she stomped around all the time. And we hated her. And she had Iowa Hawkeye license plate or something. And so I always have them losing. I never have them going.
I have no preference for or against the school. I hate their football team. That is the least interesting football style that you'll ever watch in your life. But that coach is gone now, so maybe they're better. I don't know. I have no preference, but this new coach on their basketball team and that guy has a fun story. It's like a friend of a friend situation. So that's really cool. And then I love just that's like an example of I love those little stories of like, oh, yeah, there's this random Overland Park guy that started at JUCO. And now he's like the second best player on a 17 seed or, you know, what, like just ridiculous little things like that that come out of the woodwork. I like that stuff a lot. And then this year's tournament also just has what I think could be the best NBA freshman class at least a decade. It's going to be a great class. I think the BYU guy's going to end up going first, and rightfully so. That guy is great. Man, there's so many good guys. I don't even want to guess who goes second, but the great NBA class. So if you get a chance, Chris, turn it on. Usually we're at con during the first weekend. Like usually we're at con on the first Saturday, but they fell on different Saturdays this year. So that's kind of exciting. That's what I've been up to. That's also my segue to our topic, which is I had this in my brain and I was like, wait a minute, did we agree on this or did I just make this up? Chris, I think we decided just straight up one-on-one, no bending, basketball tournament between what did there end up being 16 on each side? No,
I have in here 18.
18. Okay,
I have a playing game between 8 and 9 on both brackets.
Amongst the 18 most recognizable faces, I'll say, generically speaking, characters from the Avatar universe. I think we decided to, or at least... Go ahead.
There were one caveat. I did, because... No disrespect to these two characters. They're two of my favorite characters. But in order for me to add in Yang Chen, who I really want to add in, just purely out of well, I'll maybe explain later. And add in someone else. I was like, I got to get this down. I don't want four playing games. And so I had to take out Toph. And I had to take out Katara. Because Toph is pretty short. And
also,
she's not good at...
Also, just throwing it out there. It'll be a tough sport for Toph.
Yeah, it'll be a tough sport for Toph. I mean, even if we gave her, like, hey, we'll give you the bending of, like, seismic sense, which is a bending, because she uses earth bending.
Yeah.
For it. Like, you can't.
No, it's legitimate bending. Like,
even if we gave her that,
learn to do,
she still isn't,
sense.
Like, great. Yeah, she still isn't, like, great at, like, things around.
Airborne objects aren't her strength. Unless it's earth, which makes sense, right? If somebody's slinging earth at her in the air, she'd say that makes sense.
And then I took out Katara just because, really, just there wasn't, she just wasn't as good, I think, off the bat as some of these other ones might be. So that got me down to the 18.
My gut instinct is that, like, Mai and Ty Lee both strike me as good athletes, right? So it feels like either one of those, but, you know, I had to understand you had to draw a line, and I got to wake up at like 5 a.m. this morning. So I completely respect your choices. With all due respect, you know what? Katara's hair loopies would just be a distraction while she tried to play anyway. Does Amon get to wear the mask? Is he going like Rasheed Wallace on this? Is he...
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. Protect the nose. Chris, yeah, thanks for putting it together. just one-on-one with the information that we have.
One-on-one, game to 11. Game to... Some of the things I like to consider is, you know, same way consider basketball. Your power or your height, that's one thing. Your strength and your height. Height is a big factor in basketball, which is why I have these kind of, I took the best heights I could find of each character, and they are ranked by their height. So the number one seed from the Avatar bracket is Roku. He's somewhere between 6'5 and 7 foot. And I have the number one seed from Legend of Korra as Pili. She's about 6'3. And then goes from there. And you have your lower seeds at like 5'3-ish and 5'7 on the Korra side.
Okay. All right. I am interested to see what logic comes out in this discussion. I use the word logic very loosely.
Yeah, I meant to say when I think about these, I'll be thinking about their height and their strength. I'll be thinking about, do I think how good of a shooter they would be, and quickness and dribbling skills. Those are kind of things that I may be thinking about when assessing 1v1s.
My gut instinct was, so when it comes to like skills, right? We've never seen these people dribble or shoot a basketball. So from that, I'm in my mind, I want to derive that from like the precision of their other like hand-based skills, their other dexterity skills. Are they good and precise specifically?
They're very precise with their hands and other things. That's why I'm not a huge Mei fan, but I was like, Mei, you know, she's throwing daggers and she's pretty good at the aim with them. So I was like, you know, I gotta have Mei on there.
That playing game right there, Chris, that could be a wild one. That's people doing exactly what I'm talking about. But that's where I'm gonna derive that from. So like, all right, we can kind of gauge their athleticism, we kind of gauge their height, kind of gauge their dexterous traits to some degree. And that's what I'm gonna do, at least. Obviously you may differ, and that's fantastic. Thanks for putting it together. Let's get started. Let's start left to right, right? So let's start on ATLA side, and then
All right.
I did just want to note that, and I hope you're in agreement, I think for our avatars, like Roku and Kyoshi and Yangjin, we need to use their, like, ages from the books. You know, like, the roughly same age as everybody else. Well, that's not true. Roughly, they're, you know, probably early 20s, I think, is a general rule. Yeah. I actually don't know how old they are.
Which is why I think Roku's, like, 17 in the first book. In the second book, he's, like, 21.
Okay.
And so that's why I was fine with keeping his height at 6'5", because he probably stopped growing at 21.
I think that I was done, that's for sure.
I know. I was done at like 18. Like, maybe I was done at 17, honestly. I still had hope.
I was so hopeful based on my siblings, and then that last spurt never happened. Swing and a miss.
Just some genetic code that just didn't hit the switch. Like some down at the molecular level. Some little Osmosis Jones character didn't hit the switch for the second spurt.
What a great reference. Jordan was... when I met Heather, I brought her home, and Jordan was in the eighth grade, and they were the same height. And then, like, the next year at Christmas, we have a picture of Jordan and Heather next to each other. He's, like, 6 inches taller. It's ridiculous. Oh. Damn it.
Hope he has some growing pains.
I bet he did. I bet he was very uncomfortable. Anyway, yeah. let's do the ATLA play-in first, which immediately looks like I said, that seems like it'd be a pretty good game. We're talking about two people in Suki and Mei, who are the 8 and 9, respectively, or flip-flop because they're the same height. That's fine. Whichever. It says 8 and 9, doesn't it? There it is. Suki's 8, Mei's 9. Who make their living off of their hands. My gut reaction, Chris, is that Suki's probably a better athlete. A more physically honed athlete. Now, they're the same height, and they're both very good with their hands. Is that enough to make a difference in a game to 11? Because I think so.
You know, also, I think Suki is better. I'm talking like some ESPN head. Also, I think... Suki has the leadership and the dedication
Chris!
To get the job done.
That's beautiful.
My turn. First of all, Mei went to Fire Nation Girls Academy. You know who else went to Fire Nation Girls Academy? Five time. No, I'm kidding.
Five time Agni Kai murderer. Ron Gee's mom, whose
name Ron.
I can't remember.
Yeah, Ron, yeah. Hey, Ron. Yeah,
hey, Ron. Thank you. No, Chris, I think, and also, like, let's be real. If Mei started losing, would she lose interest? You know, if she gets behind, does she have a comeback? I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, basketball, you can be really good at basketball with just effort. And
one-on-one especially, like chasing down rebounds and one-on-one.
Yeah.
All things equal... Otherwise, which in this case several things are, that's a huge difference in 1-on-1.
Yep. Yeah, I'm taking Suki, and I really it's I like so I added Mei in here because she's probably, you know, has the best aim. She probably can shoot the best. Like if we're talking 3-point competition, you know, she would, you know,
probably
make it to the championship round, probably.
Probably one of these two characters. Chris, you could have stuck Mei or Ty Lee or Katar in that spot, and I think the outcome would have been the same. So, for whatever that's worth. Do we jump from this, since that was playing, let's jump from that right to the the 8-1 matchup?
Yes.
So
yep.
How does Suki fare against 6'5" Roku? I mean,
this is a really... Suki has the speed. I think she's probably... Roku's kind of clumsy in his early age.
They demonstrate... In the material that we have, Chris, they kind of demonstrate that he's not the most gifted, the most graceful. Like, in what we have, you know... this, if it becomes a game of three-point shooting and effort, it might still be Suki's game.
Listen, Suki is going to be able to drive the basket, do a step-back jumper. Because she has to, right? Because Roku's freaking 6'5", sure. 7 foot. I think she can accommodate for that.
I think
but,
that...
man, once Roku gets the ball, though...
Okay, but Chris, have you ever seen a clumsy person in a game one? So even a bigger person, but if they're clumsy, that person trying to back down a smaller person starting at the top of the key, that's not good. That's not good.
Yeah.
Give me Suki again.
I think
I'm here for it.
I think it's a tough matchup, but I think we got, you know, first upset, 8 seed beating the 1 seed. I think Suki takes it.
I think it starts wonky, where you're really not sure what's happening, but by the end, Suki's effort, energy, athleticism, smart defense, that's going to win out. Give me, Suki. 8 upset over 1. How about that? Sorry, Ruby. You're not good at anything, I guess. Next, we have the 4-5 matchup. 4 is Yang Chen, standing 5'8", and presumably in her upper teens or lower 20s. Sokka at 5'7", presumably in his mid to upper teens. 5'8", Yang Chen. Okay, so Chris, good time for your Yang Chen anecdote or reference or whatever the word might be.
Yes. So, I love Yang Chen. But the reason why I really want to add her into this tournament is because in the first novel, she's like walking Kavik around the Eastern Air Temple. Wait, no, they're at the Western Air Temple. That's the air temple that Yang Chen is from. She's from the West, Western Air Temple. Then they walk by like a group of nuns, very polite, like... All right, I'll just read it, what they say, because I have it up here. They enter the ringed cloisters, whatever that means. A group of young nuns visiting from the Eastern Temple, going in the opposite direction, bow solemnly to Yang Chen while she gave a gesture of benediction. A few of them raised eyebrows at Kavik, but said nothing. It was well understood the Avatar had to... Anyway, that's part important. The insult came only after they passed each other. Which way do Westerners go? Shouted the lead nun. Yang Chen spun around to see her making a three-finger gesture toward the ground. The rest of the girls responded in unison. Down, down, down. By laws as ironclad as any among her folk, Yang Chen was obligated to answer back. She cupped her hands around her mouth. You're 7-10 in my error. East side, least side. Like, that part is crazy. And then Kavik is looking kind of confused. Oh, the nuns say, gaps closing fast, Avatar. And then Yang Chen explains to Kavik that they're talking about air ball, the air ball records between the sister temples. So Yang Chen's really into sports.
You included Yang Chen because she talks shit, and that's beautiful.
Yes.
That's art. Chris, I want to take a moment to talk about Sokka because he's probably, to me, the most relatable person in this tournament. And by that, I mean that his only skills that might be useful in basketball, and I say might, are not useful in one-on-one. This isn't going to go well for Sokka. This isn't... One-on-one is not Sokka's game. And... Airbenders strike me as people who are going to have good footwork. You know, they're going to be graceful and athletic and smooth, rhythmic, and that ain't Sokka. I don't see a skill in which Sokka bests Yang Chen one on one.
Yeah. I just imagine Yang Chen having good handles, being able to do great turnaround moves.
A little bit of everything.
Right?
Really.
You know?
She strikes me as a versatile player.
Yeah, maybe even a little quick with it, you know? I think she's obviously... Oh, yeah. Yeah, she gets to her bag, you know? I think she's beaten Sokka.
But RIP Sokka, I think you and I would approach basketball similarly. The 3-6 matchup, Zuko standing 5'8", number 3, Aang standing 5'5", might be generous, at number 6. This is
that was generous. That was 5'5", Aang is like end of series, maybe even comics a little bit. Yeah, that's the part that was generous.
Zuko is an athlete. Aang probably has some speed and some outside game to his advantage. This feels like a good matchup to me.
This is a really good matchup. Aang probably shoots better. Zuko
strikes me as like a mid 90s power forward, but you know, standing 5'8" and playing against other high school kids. Some finesse in the post, but not, you know, not just a pure bruiser, but not a stretch four or anything like that.
Yeah, I think mid range and in the post, especially in this matchup specifically, he is taken advantage of a little bit. I mean, imagine Aang just trying to just being pushed back with Zuko backing him down, while you know Zuko can probably lean against him, feel that weight, can you know maneuver around him. Yeah. Pup Fang, everything just...
And you're getting over him, too, like, with every shot you put up. I guess, is Zuko one character, and he very well might be, Chris, who would have the sort of determination to just do that every time? He has 11 possessions, and he's gonna get that post up and that good shot, determination, the discipline, that's what I'm looking for. The discipline to just, nope, I'm not going to screw around. I'm going to do exactly what I need to do to this very small person, 11 straight possessions, and make it
happen. I mean, I think he'll take a few jump shots, you know, just to test his own worth.
They're going to be at the free throw elbow, I feel like. He's going to hit 50% from the free throw elbow. Something like that.
Yeah. And while I think Aang is like the better shooter, Aang's gonna get some you know threes on the, which is 2 points, which is honestly playing 1-on-1 is ludicrous in terms of points. It's just a rule like hey, in 1-on-1, even in pickup basketball, threes are worth double.
Never made sense to me. Can we just adjust the number that you play to rather than? No? All right. Never mind. I do want to make it clear. I think that Suki and Mei probably better shooters than Aang, but I still fashion Aang a decent yeah. shooter. Probably a great ball handler. He strikes me as, he's like Muggsy Bogues out there. I think Zuko has enough all around skill that he's going to use his advantages effectively and win this game.
Okay. I'm good with it also. I'll probably have Zuko. It's a close match, I think. Maybe don't got to do the winning by two. Maybe it's a 10-11 deal.
The two ball is the great equalizer, and that's the thing that Aang would have in his bag. But like I said, if there's a guy who's got the discipline just to, like, Iroh coaching him from the sideline, you know. No balance here, Zuko. Just post. Next matchup. I don't know why this is funny to me in particular. It just is. Kyoshi is our number two, standing somewhere between 6'5", either 6'5" and 6'7", or 6'5" and 7 feet. I gotta be honest, I actually don't know what the intention is there. It's listed as 6'7".
I meant to have it as 6'5" to 7 foot.
Okay.
So her and Roku's height are... It's hard to tell because some images, they look about the same height. Some images, Roku might look slightly taller. But Kyoshi is also known to many as the tallest avatar. At least she has the biggest feet in the avatar. But it is... I've seen some stuff to say that she's 7 foot. So I just have them both as 6'5 to 7 feet.
My headcanon says that she's the tallest. I know that doesn't get to play a role here, but my headcanon does. So, yeah. But Kyoshi is not... She's not graceful. That's literally her downside as a bender.
Yeah.
She got the post game to compensate? Again, in 1-on-1, right? So you got a picture. Like, yeah, you can back down 5'3 Azula, but you back down from the top of the key every time.
If horse stance if she practices horse stance enough with Rongi's training,
okay,
maybe that horse stance translates into being able to back people down.
Right, just keep the ball safe distance and get that back down going. Okay.
Yeah.
How's their hustle game? How's the Kiyoshi versus Azula hustle game when neither one of them is maybe a great shooter? Azula's a better shooter, but maybe neither one of them is an amazing shooter. Who's going to chase down those rebounds? Kiyoshi just on height?
Oh,
just on wingspan?
The thing is, most characters in the show can jump pretty high. And I don't know if that's a... Even without bending, lots of them can jump really high.
Anime high. That shows anime traits.
Maybe the gravity on this planet is not the same as our gravity.
Maybe not.
But I think Azula will be able to get some rebounds. I've seen Azula specifically jump really high. And also, I think she's quicker than Kiyoshi.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kiyoshi's success rate of backing down Azula, because that's the only move she has. Like, she cannot go straight up with Azula at all. It has to be backing down, keeps the ball away. But I think her success rate with that is probably like 70% success rate. And while Azula, I think, would get more possessions, just being quicker and able to get some rebounds, I think her success rate of, you know, mid-range, maybe pump faking or Hezzy, maybe she's able to get to the basket. I think she has about the same success rate, maybe more possessions, maybe slightly higher success rate. I probably have Azula winning.
I think I'm on board. I think the only counter is, I think Kiyoshi would be, she'd be like the Angel Reese of this matchup. She would be eating up her own offensive rebounds because they'd all be short rebounds, right? They wouldn't be chasing the rebounds. So yeah. How does 70%, but then plus, you know, at least one additional opportunity on top of every missed shot?
Honestly, I've been in enough one-on-one games with people who have height on me, and that pissed me off. When they get their own short rebound, like, all right, in an actual game, you're not getting this rebound.
The shooter rebounds would favor the hustle, but in this case, Kiyoshi chasing down her own rebounds, or Roku or something like that against such smaller person. Mm-hmm. Is that enough to equalize for you? Otherwise, I think I'm still on the Azula train as well.
It's tough. Also, I think it's going to be a physical match. Like,
it is.
Both of these characters, Azula is a lot more athletic than Kiyoshi. Mm-hmm. Like, even a sport that she played, that game they played on the beach, she immediately adapted to it. And Azula is very competitive.
The volleyball like
sport. Yeah.
Azula does like to win, and Kiyoshi probably doesn't care as much. If we're gonna be straight up honest about a one-on-one game. I think I'm on the Azula train.
Oh, that reminds me. The Gemini generated the ultimate 1v1 basketball. And then in the middle there says the championship, the battle for the spiritual realm. Like, wait, what is this, like a Space Jam?
That is exactly what
Mortal Kombat?
It is Space Jam plus Mortal Kombat. That's what it is.
Yeah.
The battle. Also, none of these people from the spirit realm. Not one.
Yeah.
Azula? We calling the
upset match. Another. Well, it's not a real upset.
Yeah. Seating was what it was, you know.
But, I mean, it is. I think Azula takes it. If we do a win by two, let's say we do a win by two.
Okay.
I think this is a 18-16 win.
Azula just outlasts on a two ball, right? Because Kiyoshi's not taking two balls. And the two ball is the great equalizer in the one-on-one size mismatch game. So,
yep.
I think I'm down for Azula. So, flip side, we've got play-in Korra versus Kuvira. This is a much taller side. Oh my god.
That's the thing.
Oh man.
That's what I was like. At first, I had Kyoshi on the chorus side when I was making it, just the way how many characters I had. And then I was like, wait, I need to even out this maybe a little bit. And so that's why I think on average, the Avatar side might be taller. But median-wise, the chorus side is way taller. That's a good math.
It's surprising Gazan's not on here, because I assume he would just know how to play basketball, even if he had never been exposed to it ever in his life, because it didn't exist and it was invented while he's in prison. He would just get out and he would just know how to ball. I can't believe he's not here. I think this Kuvira Korra matchup is a lot of fun. I think Korra's more athletic and stronger. I think Kuvira's gonna have better dexterity skills. He's gonna have better jump shot, probably better ball handling, and those things. But I think it's a fun matchup in the play-in.
Yeah, and also Korra is—I say this all the time. Korra might be the physically strongest person on the show. I mean that in terms of like able to lift weights. She at least has displayed this much. I doubt she probably is. Probably Combustion Man is just unless
I didn't even think about like Combustion Man. But yeah, look at that guy, Chris.
But Korra has shown she's very strong. Like she can lift Tenzin and his three kids very easily. She threw a guy like 12 feet across the street, no bending. So that may factor into it. So similar heights. They probably got the same speed. Kuvira is probably slightly quicker.
See, I still fashion Korra quicker. I fashion Korra is a little more athletic in basically,
I think,
every way.
Yeah.
She's just,
I do think Korra is more. Yes, Korra is an athlete, yeah.
But that being said, I think Kuvira would have better, cleaner handles, probably a cleaner shot. And I'm asking myself at the moment, is would Korra, you know, better, stronger defense, maybe get to that one or two extra loose balls that she needs to just by nature being a little stronger, a little faster, I think is where my gut's at right now to win a hotly contested matchup.
Yeah, I'm good going Korra. I probably leaning slightly towards Korra just because she is described as an athlete so much of the time that I kind of give her the edge there.
She also has actual, I know it's a completely different sport that relies solely on bending, but there's nice, it just feels nice to have some sample size of her playing a game with game rules and showing that competitiveness in something that is otherwise meaningless, Chris. Games are meaningful because we assign meaning to them. It was pro bending and that's it, you know. So I don't know, it's nice to have a sample size. So I'm leaning Korra. I think this is a close game though, and I could be persuaded.
Yeah, I'm going Korra too.
Excellent. Excellent. So that was the play in. So now Korra's gotta face Pali. Stands at 6'3" and is otherwise, Chris, I gotta be honest, otherwise really hard to place in terms of like her skills. How much precision is combustion bending?
Hers is very precision. Like
it is, but
she can, you know.
But what about relative to like she's pointing, which okay, still precise, okay, but versus using your hands.
Your hands, okay. That's fair. For some reason I think awesome. Very much, you know, maybe she's like, you know, like you said with Kyoshi, Angel Reese. She's probably a better shooter. I think Pali's probably a better shooter than Kyoshi. I've never got the sense that Pali is a well. They probably shoot about. Pali and Korra can probably shoot about this. No, Korra's probably a better shooter. Course, probably slightly better shooter. But Pali, I think, is pretty well-rounded. I think she has, like, pretty good... I think she's pretty solid in most places. Ball handling-wise, probably not as good. Just, you know, most bigs. aren't as good with ball handling.
She's also, but she's, I think, a little older. How much does that play a role here? We're taking show age, Pelini,
yeah, but she's still like,
and we're talking,
she's probably like 30.
How long were they in prison, Chris?
Like, let's see. Cora,
remember,
was kid,
they had to commit heinous crimes before they went to prison.
She's probably not 30. She's probably, because Cora was 3 when they were kidnapped. Cora is like 19, so that's 16 years. And she was probably like at least, she was probably like 8, at least 18.
She had to be, they had to commit heinous crimes to be separated into these prisons, Chris. She was older than 18. She's at least 20.
I only said 18 because I she's probably much younger than Zaheer.
Okay. You think so? Much younger?
No, maybe not much younger.
I wouldn't think so.
Zaheer looks really old, though.
But that's just because he's bald.
No, I think no, but he has, when he first shows up, he has all this gray hair in his beard and stuff.
And she's just well kept, you know, she's aged. No, I think I've always fashioned Palia and the whole group in my head, the whole group has always been 40s, all of them. It just makes sense age-wise. They were in their 20s. They were, you know, 20-somethings revolutionists. And they spent 15 years in prison, 16. I always had them low 40s.
Yeah, okay.
Does that? I think that plays a role. Playing one-on-one against, pretty close to their peak physically avatar.
Yeah.
I want Pelia to be better. There's just no, there's nothing really to suggest, I guess, that she would be more skillful than Cora, yep, in any regard to make up for like age and quickness and strength.
You're trying to convince the, you know, the Cora lover. Mm-hmm. So
I don't have to work that out. No, I want Pelia to be better just because it'd be cool to have, you know, a 6'3 person, especially because our tall people got beat on the other side. That's a little sad in hindsight, but it is what it is. But, you know, like, one-on-one is a game that just doesn't favor the bigs quite as much. You need somebody who does it all. That's all.
Yeah. I am good with going with Cora.
4-5 matchup, Battle of the Brothers, not in the basketball way that you would think. It's Mako and Bolin.
I think this is easy.
I feel like this is pretty easy. I'll go first, Chris. I think it's Mako. I think he's more disciplined. I think he's more athletic. Sure, maybe Bolin's a little stronger. I don't know.
I think both are athletic. Both are athletes, mm-hmm, and good athletes, but I think Bolin is more like, he will be better as a running back in football.
Yeah, if this is any kind of football drill where just a little extra like thickness and toughness and a lower center of gravity was a good thing, exact opposite. But here at basketball, Mako is probably even really precise. He's probably a decent shooter and a decent handler.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm taking Mako there.
I think it's easy.
Ooh, we got a villain.
This is funny.
I like how I honestly had no idea these were going to ring out this way. I haven't really looked at a lot of these matchups.
I like that you did it this way because it made the people, like, it gave something to work off of just to get it done, but then it made the actual people just insanely random, and that's very amusing. We've got number 3, Amon, standing 6 foot flat, versus number 6, Zaheer, standing 5'9". 40-year-old Zaheer versus, I don't know how old Amon is, mid-30s?
Probably.
Low 30 to 35 in that range.
Wait a minute. I can quantify somehow. Aang was, he must be kind of old, though. Now think about it. Because Aang was like 40 years old when he defeated Noatak. Then Noatak got plastic surgery. Not Noatak, I'm sorry.
Yacone.
Yeah, Aang was like mid-40s maybe when he defeated Yacone. Okay, so then Yacone escaped, got plastic surgery, met a woman, they got married, they had kids. That probably all was within like 10 years. So even if you put Aang at 55, Aang dies at 66, I think. So then what's the 10 or 18 years? Okay, maybe they are like 30, mid-30s. That makes sense. Never mind.
mid-30s.
Sorry, I did math in my head with a hint.
Mid-30s to low 40s, so a gap, but not a Cora Pelee gap.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not. Got a few inches on Zaheer, though.
And at first I thought Zaheer was shorter, just because I compare him to Pelee, and Pelee has to bend down to get some, but he's not that short. At first I thought, oh, he's a short king.
He's a short king.
But I said the same thing. He's not a short king. I'm not calling him short king, because
he is her short king, Chris. Oh. All things relative.
Yes. Okay, yes. Yes, that is true.
About to get defensive about the height over here.
Well, once Mo called me short, I'm like, Mo, I'm not short, Mo.
Maybe compared you to are you, 6'8". You Grenadans. Maybe compared to you people.
What do you mean, you people?
That's funny in a couple ways. No, I think, first of all, a lot of people would say 5'9 is very average, you know, and that's just fine.
I think
I think that both people here are probably reasonably, there's probably a reasonable amount of dexterity going on here. They might have even, I don't want to say completely similar skill sets, but there might be similar-ish skill sets here. I would be willing to bet Zaheer is more athletic. Do you have a gut reaction to that?
I agree with that, because Zaheer was a non-bender who was locked up. Like, Amon is a bender who pretended to be a non-bender. Mm-hmm. And also Zaheer picks up things quicker. Well, from what I can tell, I assume he picks up things quicker the way he picked up airbending. I think Zaheer
translate better to basketball. The skills that we can see on the screen, I think, translate better to basketball, even if their overall skill sets look kind of parallel. Amon's got a few inches and a few years in a good way, but I don't think enough of either of those to make up for a guy that could have just sat in his cell for 15 years and worked out every day. He's eating clean, I'll tell you that much. I assume prison diets are pretty minimalist. So my gut says Zaheer in a game featuring some kind of all-around skill, some old man game to it. Oh, ooh, speaking of old man game, that's the next one there. That's Tenzin's got old man game. Some Uncle Drew written all over that guy. But I think I'm Zaheer on this one.
I am too. All right, Zaheer.
Next one is number 2, Tenzin at 6'2", versus number 7, Asami at 6'8". Is Asami taller than Korra?
5'8". She is, she is noticeably taller than Korra. Not noticeably in the way of, like, way taller, just she always looks taller than Korra.
I guess it never occurred to me. Anyway, good. So we've got who I would consider probably reasonably athletic and reasonably dexterous, Asami, and she's not short. That's good. I don't know if she has any like feats of strength to work off of. Whereas again, Tenzin, he strikes me as old man game, right? Like, okay, he's not fast. He's a little older. I bet he's still got an okay J. He's in shape enough to play good defense, and he's got that wile, that craft to his game. Pull out those moves that you thought were extinct.
Yeah.
Is there
any... and I also think he's probably, just being an airbender, I think I give him a natural better than average shooting. For some reason.
I know I would tend to say that about airbenders and waterbenders in general of just needing more precision to your handiwork.
Yeah.
Asami's probably good with her hands, right? She'd martial artistry, but I No, I like Tenzin, and damn it, I want a tall person to advance. Just one. Just one.
Yeah, I agree. Tenzin.
Chris, let's move back over to the other side then, where I believe we've got Yangchen versus Suki. 5'3 Suki versus 5'8 butt airbender, as we have noted. Yangchen. I say airbender. I feel like these are both highly skilled people. I think we see more feats of athleticism from Suki, but Yangchen, we have the sample that she does and has actually played a sport, and that is helpful.
I think this is a great matchup. I think this is part of the. It's a really great matchup with two different people. I think of two slightly different skill sets, but both. Oh, both like it's like two point guards going up against each other, like.
But two different. But you got one point guard that's going to rely on their quicks, and another that's going to rely on good handles, like, good decision making. Deron Williams versus Kyrie Irving, you know.
Yeah.
Yangchen.
Yeah, something like that.
Yangchen being Deron, just maybe the quicks aren't quite there, but. But it's all the other intangibles. Suki's got the quicks and the flash. This might be the hardest one. Like I don't have a gut reaction, so I'm going to go from that to say this is the hardest one we've encountered so far.
Mm-hmm. I think Suki. It's funny. I think we had Suki. Yeah, we had Suki win the non-bender fight. Similar. So lots of those things.
Similar reasons.
but something about, I just think Suki will get the job done. I think she, like, sometimes it just comes down to that. Like, who do, just, you know, you take out all the stats you have in your head that I think Suki just gonna find a way to win. The height comparison is not too off. They're both probably fast. Suki probably has better aim, even though Yangchen is a great, probably a really good shooter also. Suki has shown muscle arm dexterity before.
I don't think the height difference matters. Oh, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, I agree. I don't think the height difference matters.
Not as much as Suki, because she's going to use every, like, she's going to get, like, max bang for buck out of her height and strength when she's playing defense. So if it's Suki versus Roku, like, okay, we kind of talked about that. It's like Suki versus Yangchen. That doesn't bother me at all. Suki can still defend Yangchen just pound for pound.
Yeah.
I like where your head's at. I'm on Suki, if you are.
I am with it.
Sorry, Yangchen. It was worth bringing you in here just for the shit talk. It was worth it.
Yeah.
Zuko just got done just ooh, eating up in the post. Wow. Another sibling matchup, second sibling matchup, versus Azula. That's another good matchup. That's two really fun matchups in a row.
Yeah, it is. It's a rematch of the Agni Kai.
I know who I want to see, but
I think a solid mind Azula, but she is in a pretty solid mind right now in the comic books.
Okay.
I think she beats Zuko. I think, even though... Wait, what's the height difference? Five. They always look pretty.
Also, but Zuko's ripped. Like, I assume that Zuko is strong. He's ripped. He works out. He, takes care of his physical self.
But I think, weirdly enough, Azula is just as strong. Azula just did, she does this one move in the Boiling Rock episode that a lot of, like, fitness people have tried to imitate. It's where she lands, like, on her hands, and her feet are, like, parallel to the ground, and she, like, pushes up and then pushes her feet from under her and then fire bends out without touching the ground.
No, that's excellent. That's excellent core strength, Chris, but we're talking about your pounds, Azula's pounds versus Azuko's pounds. If you're trying to post him up or trying to get by him, and get bodied up and stuff. Like, Zuko's still volume stronger, right? Like, he's a bigger dude. He can lift more weight. He's going to be harder to move off of a spot. But I still...
But she's the type to go, hey, I bet you ain't going to make it. She'll leave him open. Mm-hmm. Be like, oh,
shoot. Head, yeah.
Just turn the back towards him.
Get his dome. I want Zuko to win. I don't want Azula to win, but I think I agree with you. I just don't like it. Sorry, Zuko. You put up a good fight. It was probably a good game. She probably pulled some dirty crap. Started telling yo mama jokes, which is extra funny in this context.
Yeah. Yeah, I got Azula winning.
All right, fine.
Your mama.
It took you a while to laugh at that. I was like, Chris, did you know, I was really proud of that. Next up, we got Korra versus Mako. That should be fun.
I'm just imagining these characters like, all right, who nets? Oh, it's Korra versus Mako. Like, like, this is what the NBA All-Star game should be like. 1v1 tournament. Mm-hmm. And, well, not the, just to add it, don't replace NBA All-Star game. Just add that to
maybe
Saturday's event.
I hate to say this, but maybe go ahead and ditch the dunk contest and play some 1v1 or something. The dunk contest.
I think you keep the dunk contest for the young uppercomers who don't get much notoriety.
It's nice
and
of you
stuff
to think
like that.
Of
and
Mac McClung you, like that. That's very sweet of you.
But I think you make the main event 1v1. Like, the dunk contest can no longer be the main event.
I never,
because the main event Saturday night can't be the dunk.
The skills thing never appealed to me as a smaller person. The dunk contest really appealed to me, and it had some like peak years in there in between, like Dwight Howard and Zach LaVine. There's some really cool stuff in there. Yeah, 1v1 would be fun. Some fact, you know, maybe is it quick 1v1s to three, something like, you know, just so you can rapid fire multiple matchups in a short amount of time.
I was thinking about this, some of this today. I think winner gets $1 million. I think probably to 7.
I would want to see lots of matchups of my favorite players versus other players. So whatever made it cycle pretty quickly, but still felt like enough, you know, 5-7.
Probably to 7 seconds, because that's how a lot of them play. 7 second possessions.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of them play dribbles. I hate dribbles. I was talking to someone, I'm like
a dribble count.
He was like, yeah, when you play one of them. Yeah, dribble count.
Oh, that's weird.
I hate that. I hate that thought.
No, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
Ew, gross. No. Oh. Yeah, let's have some 1-on-1 in the All-Star weekend. That'd be cool. Anyway, Mako.
Korra versus Mako.
Mako versus Korra. Chris, I'm going to make a contestable statement here, and that's that I think that Mako's going to have better shooting and ball handling skills than Korra. I think he's got more precision to his craft, more of that dexterity skill. Korra's a hair farther up the brute force scale, like the Kyoshi side of things. To me personally, that's how I view them.
How dare you, Sean? Korra is going all the way. She's going to win the whole thing, but I think she gets stopped here. I think Mako has, he probably has, you know, he has like a 4-inch advantage. Wingspan wise, it's probably even longer. Yeah, I think he's just as good of a shooter. I think they're probably pretty close on a lot of different things. But I think Mako is going to be able to take it. He's also probably more of a, I don't know if I say more of a natural athlete, but he's been playing more sports, or he's at least been
probably
pro bending,
yeah,
much longer than Korra.
Playing the bender, or sorry, the Republic City equivalent of street ball his whole life, whatever that is. Stick ball? Do they play stick ball? I think that Mako is just a little better than Korra at a lot of things, and that will behoove him here. And Korra is probably like stronger than Mako, but I don't know if there's a lot of other traits that she'll have that will benefit her enough in this game. So I'm leaning Mako as well. But I bet this is a fun game, though. I bet it's playfully competitive, some trash talk getting thrown out. It's a fun game to watch.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Zahir, who stands 5'9", versus Tenzin, 6'2", our tallest devil overall person matchup yet.
I think...
Oh, please go ahead, because I don't think anything yet. I'm actually kind of at a loss.
I think Tenzin, they're about the same age. Tenzin, at 6'2", they already had a fight. Airbender to Airbender. Mm-hmm. Tenzin won that. I think in this match, both old men, wow, yeah, both old man skills. So here might be, just from his non-bending skills, I think he would have to maybe be a slightly better shooter. Maybe a better ball handler.
But I don't know why I agree, but I do. He just feels like a guy who would have a better J. I can't explain it. But Chris, I think Tenzin's more creative, and I can't necessarily explain that either, other than just being like raised by Aang, raised in Airbender. And I just, when I think of old man moves, like just weird, goofy things that just work.
They're like, I'm posting you up, and then I put the ball in between my legs, and then I do like this.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's Tenzin's going to have that odd old man game stuff. So I think Zahir is going to be, I know they're both airbenders, but one of them is a born airbender. That's starting to sound kind of bigoted of me, but I think you know what I'm going for. That
he's a naturalized airbender.
He was born in the darkness, Chris. Zahir didn't achieve it till he's already a man or whatever. You know what? No, the longer I think about this, I think they probably do have some slightly similar skill sets in the sense that, like, all right, we're getting older, but good athletes. Neither one of them short, not a huge advantage. Zahir is maybe a little thicker, stronger. Tenzin's longer. I bet Tenzin's got more odd.
Yeah, I think I'm going with Tenzin.
That's funny to think about, though. I like it. Okay, yeah, cool. Let's go with Tenzin. What have we got?
All right.
What
have we got on the other side? Our final four.
That is final four. How about that?
Our final four. We got Suki and Azula. And then we got Mako versus Tenzin.
Suki versus Azula is a really interesting matchup. And then Mako versus Tenzin. Okay. Interesting. Well, we're going to have a girl and a guy represented. That's neat.
Yeah, that's good.
We
no sexism here.
No, and there's a chance of having. I guess there's only one. There's one way where we could have both from the same bending school, but we'll see. Chris, Suki versus Suki versus Azula.
We have no earthbenders. Wait, now that I'm, never mind. I can analyze this later. Suki versus Azula. These two have had lots of fights.
They have so many. my gut is just still immediately drawn to Suki. I just think that Suki's ultimately going to have better ball skills, a little better jump shot. They're both going to be driven. They're both good, strong athletes, probably good quicks to both of them. I think that Suki's going to keep a leveler head. I think she's going to have better ball skills and a better J. I like her chances. I'm going to say that's a light preference, and I would like to hear your thoughts.
I don't disagree with anything you said there. I can't disagree with anything you just said. But
you knocked it out of the park, Chris. That was beautifully delivered.
The thing is, I'm actually just trying to impersonate this one person from SNL impersonating Stephen A. Smith.
It's like the Arnold Schwarzenegger scenario where it's easier to impersonate somebody else impersonating Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. so I don't disagree with anything you just said. The thing about Azula that may take the next step is that sheer determination of winning. Like sometimes the skills and stuff, it doesn't come down. Sometimes it comes down to who wants it more.
I'm not and so I sure that couldn't be Suki too, though. Just discipline, determination.
Suki is determined, but Azula is like Black Swan determined.
She's like even in that matchup, she's gonna commit fouls. She's gonna commit make unnecessary mistakes from not keeping her cool.
She's more likely to have mama mentality.
No, that's not true at all. Mamba was always calm. That was like that's the staple of his game. Is he's always collected. That's not Azula. Azula literally loses her mind.
That was one time.
That's a pretty big time.
That was other factors involved in there. She was suffering a mental breakdown at that point.
No,
listen, I don't.
Suki is so much more Mamba than Azula. Suki, yeah, no, I'm standing by that statement.
I think that killer instinct. Part of mama mentality, that's Azula. Of like, I can analyze and I see the game plan, I see weaknesses.
Azula does not really do that. Azula might play some mind games.
She does it specifically in the volleyball game. She goes like, oh, this person is leaning towards the side, probably from a previous injury that she had. Let's aim for that side and do that and that. Like Azula does have some of that going on in her head.
That's
because she wanted to win. And this game, that meant absolutely nothing to her.
That's a great example, but I want to point out that it makes me hate that stupid episode even more. That's a really good example from a piece of shit episode. You know, Chris,
great episode.
I refuse to accept that you're comparing Kobe to somebody who literally loses her mind because she loses. She loses her mind because she lost a fight. And you're comparing her to Kobe, and that's you should be ashamed of yourself.
Hey, I'm the one with the Kobe Bryant poster in my work office, okay? I'm the one that hates Bam Adebayo.
Bam school. I think I got a Kobe poster in my childhood room. It's like still hanging up in there. No, you should be ashamed. Get out of here. Suki is Mamba.
She was her mental breakdown was like a month-long breakdown after her friends betrayed her. It was more than just losing a fight. It was everything that she believed in was turned inside out. And that's what drove her down.
You find me
like I
one
said,
clip
at this
of Kobe
point in the...
losing his cool, and I'll agree with you. I need to see one clip of Kobe losing it.
I can find there's now you're trying to make me say something bad about Kobe. Kobe's my goat. I don't want to say I can say
Suki
something
specific. Is Mamba. Stop it. Stop it. Azula is Kyrie because she's a little crazy.
I feel like one of those. I feel like I'm Nick Wright about to bring up something Kobe did against the Suns in Game 7 when they were up 3-1, where Kobe he didn't give up, but it was like there was a little bit of things. Like, oh wait, you want me to pass? Why would I? Fine, you guys take it. Like if you want me to pass, there was. A little bit of a, there's more going on.
Was that during the Shaq drama year?
No, this was, they should have won that series. They were up 3-1 against the Phoenix Suns. This was after Shaq. I mean, I think Kobe was still wearing number 8 at this point. But one of my favorite Kobe moves is in game 4. They get the ball. They pass to Kobe. It's like it's like 6 seconds left. Kobe gets it. Kobe's going down. And anytime I practice basketball, I always practice this move. Like he goes in and out a little bit, goes to the side, and then jumps and shoots, and he wins the game. And he does this move, and I think Sasha Vujacic and Lamar Odom goes and grabs him and hugs him. But then they go on to lose. They went up 3-1 in that game. I remember I was working at McDonald's. I was trying to take orders in the drive-thru. I was still watching. We had TV in the break room, but I was still watching the game. Anyway.
I don't dispel the notion that Azula could win. I do dispel your notion that Azula and Kobe is a good comp. I think that's disrespectful. to Kobe. I don't like that at all.
I got Azula winning. If you want, we can flip a coin.
We might have to, because I think Suki is going to keep a level head and do what needs to be done every possession. So I think we might have to.
This is our first tiebreaker here.
That's good. You got to have a couple of, like, if you don't have a tiebreaker or two, are you doing it right, you know?
I was actually surprised we haven't had one.
Yeah, same.
all right. I have the White Lotus.
Azula is Lance Stevenson. Lance Stevenson.
Oh, my gosh. How dare you?
Because she's a little insane, Chris.
We'll put Suki on Iroh's side.
Okay, so Suki is the Iroh side.
And I will.
Azula is the Lotus side.
I will flip
side.
It, catch it, put it on my hand like such.
You can do a full catch and flip. Okay, got it?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, no, that was a bad one. Sorry, I didn't see what it was.
Okay.
But you can see the flip. Wait, what did we say? We said
Suki is
Suki
Iroh,
was Iroh's side.
And
yes.
Lotus is Azula.
Oh my god. I dropped it.
I didn't.
The thing is, I'm pretty sure it was.
No, I couldn't see it.
The thing is, I'm pretty confident.
You had to flip again. I couldn't see a thing. The camera could not see a thing. You got to go again regardless. I don't even know what you're going to say. Doesn't matter.
Oh, sorry. It's fine. I know what it was because I can feel the difference, but I won't.
Interesting.
I won't even say.
Can't.
Yeah, because this side, it's like there's
a slick.
You know, you can feel it. The side is flat. Yeah, this side is flatter.
Yeah. Okay.
I won't even say what it was. I'll just reflip to be.
It needs it. Yeah, it needs it. That's a good flip. Good slap. All right. Keep her flat. Lotus side. All right, Azula.
It is.
Good game. And listen. Some games come down to the coin flip of you hit that one shot that you shouldn't have hit, that one contested two. I hate saying two instead of three at the end of the game. And sometimes that's how basketball goes, you know? Good job, Azula. You played a good game and you won. Other side, Tenzin.
That might be kind of an upset because for a while there, I thought Suki was going to make it all the way.
Yeah, upset. There's so... A lot of similarities there to work off with. Like, it's easy to see why that's such a fun discussion in particular. Mako and Tenzin. I mean, I feel bad for Tenzin, but this one does not strike me as good of a game.
It doesn't. You know, the height difference isn't that much.
And
Mako is probably much faster and probably has better skills. This is young man versus old man here. Old man skills, I don't think will keep up.
This is not going to be a game where... It's not that Tenzin has gotten lucky, because that sounds disrespectful to Asami and Zahir, but those have been kind of matchup friendly. The top half of this bracket on the right side was probably a little more potent. I think that Mako doesn't have too much issues, especially Chris. They're all watching each other, right? They're watching these games. They're scouting. Mako's not falling for any of that old man nonsense anymore. Now, he might still, because old man craft cannot be understated. But give me Mako, I think, to go to the finals.
Yeah. All right, we got ourselves a firebending finals. Azula versus Mako.
Firebenders. No, I'm just kidding. They're fine.
Azula, a 7th seed at 5-3, apparently. Versus Mako, a 4 seed at 5-11. Ooh, okay.
Some of my best friends are firebenders. Actually, some of my best friends. I think.
Go ahead.
I think this is interesting. I think it becomes a question of is Mako fast enough? Because we've kind of established we feel that Mako's pretty good at everything. Yeah, you know, we've set that precedent. Is he fast enough to at least not just get blown by Azula? Can he play good defense on Azula? I think he can score against Azula all day. Can he play good defense against Azula? I think he has the ball handle.
I think Azula
to do what he wants on the other side of the ball.
I think Azula is probably fast enough to get by Mako. But you think a 5'11" with probably a 6'1" wingspan can cover that ground, and this it's the championship game You know, the thing is I really come into this thought, oh, Azula might win. And then the more I look at it, like, even if I give Azula a 5'5", that's probably the tallest that she would be. Mako at 5'11", like, and also he's still a great athlete, and he is an agile athlete.
He's got the best combination of, like, height, strength, speed, skill on the list. I think he's getting most of the rebounds that aren't just long rebounds. I think he's going to defend her well enough. She's not going to blow by him every time. She's going to have to make some J's that are, like, moderately contested, right? J's over some outstretched arms. I think he's got a better chance of scoring essentially every time or darn close to it. And she's going to have to work a little harder.
Yeah.
Or hit the twos to compensate.
I mean, imagine him, get into his bag a little bit and then doing a fadeaway. Mm-hmm. Like, fadeaway will be hard for Azula to stop.
Yeah, just like that simple, like, Kevin Garnett 10 to 15 footer fadeaway is crisp, clean. She can't get an arm up on that. Even with her admittedly impressive jumping skills. They are impressive. She's got a 50-inch vert on
the thing is, she has to commit to jumping, though. And once you jump, you're stuck. Yeah, she has to commit to jumping. Like, even if Mako pump fakes, right? Ball is about 7 feet in the air, somewhere around there. She has to commit to jumping that height. And once she commits to jumping, she's stuck.
It's funny to think about
pump fake. He goes in.
It's funny to think about a 6 foot person jumping and a 5'6" person jumping with better ups so that they both have the same reach, right? The 6 foot's got the bigger wingspan, they're taller.
Oh my God.
The 5'6" person got way better ups, they got the same reach, but it takes the smaller person that much farther to get down, back down to the ground to jump, right? So you see the tall guys that got like the quick second jump. It's like, well, because they never left in the first place.
Yeah. That reminds me, one of my favorite plays I've ever seen. It probably wasn't that big, but I remember me and my friends were at the park, and my step cousin DL, who lived in my neighborhood also, was playing. And like me and my friends were just sitting. My cousin DL, he is like probably 2 years older than me. Yeah, he's like 2 years older than me. But he's also kind of short. Well, he's not short. He's just much. Anyway,
average,
watching
average
him playing pickup against
probably.
Other people were like. Yeah, we were watching him playing pickup against, like, this 6'4 dude. And this 4 dude's backing him down. And DL is pretty strong. He's backing him down. He pump fakes. And he looks like he has a wide open shot. And he, like, he's at the rim. And he does it. And my cousin DL just goes, shoop! And then blocks it down. And all of us on the side was like, ding! And it's kind of like that. Like, but he timed it. Like, he timed it just right.
It's weird, but man, it feels like some guys. I understand the physics don't really support this. It feels like some guys just get off the ground faster. I don't know how to explain it. They just do. That's Chris. Sorry, unrelated, but just because it came up like 2 days ago, I should have sent it to you. It's actually my favorite play of all time. Is a KU point guard threw a one arm like a one arm baseball pass from 3/4 court to J.R. Giddens, and he dunked. Like, they threw the inbound, and the point guard just, like, kind of, like, casually 3/4 court baseball passed an alley-oop to J.R. Giddens in, like, a good game. Like, it wasn't against a dumpster team or anything. Like, it was a good game. And that clip just came up the other day, and it's made me really happy. One of the best things I've ever seen on live TV, I think. I think this is a bad matchup for Azula, bottom line. I think Mako's got the best overall skill set of anybody in this list.
Yeah, I think had Suki or Azula gone against Tenzin, I think they would have won.
Yeah, I think so. Tenzin did have like an easy-ish path, or like just fortuitous matchups, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe we did.
So, congrats to Mako. Mako's winning something. Mako's
he's winning the spirit realm, Chris. It says right there, the battle for the spirit realm.
In the Mortal Kombat Space Jam fight of the century, Mako, that crosses time and space, Mako saved the day. Not any of these avatars, None of them.
Why would it be them? That would be silly.
This game of 1v1.
That's, yep. That makes a lot of sense, though, and it matches up with some previous things we felt about Mako in bending and rankings, blind rankings and the like. So that feels right to me personally.
Yeah.
Nice job, Mako. Chris, thanks for painting up the bracket. I don't know why it's music. They need more sport. You know what? The society is evolving. Republic City would not just have one sport that was only accessible to the wealthy. Chris, it would have other sport that was accessible to everybody.
True. This sport looks expensive.
Pro bending does look a little pricey. Pro bending is to them what skiing is to you and me, Chris. It's largely inaccessible.
Practicing seems pretty easy.
Sure, sure.
Well, just like 1v1, you just take the disc and you hit a missed thing. But like in game, that's why they say like there's an episode where they had rented the court, the gym, and they were playing at the arena. Because the wolf, I think another team comes in and be like, oh no, it's our time or something. It's like, okay, so the only time you guys have to, the only place you guys have to practice
in the whole
is the
city.
Actual arena.
The whole city. No, there's got to be a sport, you know, like whatever sport probably inspired basketball, the Aztec one, and they reference it in a cartoon. What cartoon they reference it in? But it's basically like the hoop is sideways.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Is it Road
to... Yeah, and it's like on a wall.
Is it Road to El Dorado, Chris?
Road to El Dorado?
I think that's right.
I think so.
They would have some equivalent. As long as man has had a ball invented, he has thrown it at projectiles, and I firmly believe that... thrown it at targets. It's probably the oldest sport. There's a target. Here's your thing. You throw it. Basketball exists in Republic City. Headcanon. I'm saying it now. There somewhere.
But what? But whatever the sport would be, is there a sport for non-benders?
Like, what every is that regular human sport we have ever played?
But in a world that is, but like in a world that's dominated by benders, sure. Do any non-bending sports become popular?
Honestly, like the first one in my mind that something about
some kids were playing soccer. It looked like some kids were playing soccer in that Iroh episode. I didn't see a net or anything.
Soccer. They, you know, Aang references a game that has some amount of appearance between like soccer and football in the Great Divide. Yeah. My head says that, man, if you want to play sports, it's probably just got to be no bending allowed. And then the bending sports, pro bending, which is bending elitist skiing of the bending world, is the one that, like, that's their Winter Olympics where all the U's and I's watch it, like, what is this? And then only the benders get to participate. My gut goes towards baseball, not because it's the best sport, it's just because it would be easy enough to see how anybody would get joy out of hitting something with something else. Or like soccer, like the uber simple, like, nope, no bending, this is the ball, you kick it that way, we'll kick it this way. It feels like natural, instinctive things that just are satisfying.
Wonder what else. Yeah, I was looking up, because in I was looking up ancient Japanese or ancient Asian sports, and because I was needing a scene where I actually wanted characters to do something, like they were talking, but I just thought it's better to have motion. And I had two characters playing a sport against each other, and like, yeah, a lot of ancient, there's something called like handball essentially. There's other kind of sports. There's, you know, there's anytime there's a ball, there's, you know,
it's
a sport somewhere, Avatarverse, universe.
It's not the same, but like the origin point that like Bazer, whatever inner desire we had to do it is the same as like if you grab a piece of trash, Chris, and you throw it in a trash can and you yell Kobe. That urge has existed since the beginning of time to like, I'm not going to walk to the trash can. I'm going to throw it from here. And that's existed for her. So somewhere in Republic City, they're playing a game that bears some resemblance to basketball.
Yeah, and it probably started off as like darts, right? Yeah. And then goes, like, I can see darts being a thing. Mm-hmm. And then it goes into like, I want to play darts with some actual emotion and someone guarding me from doing it and stuff. And then you're like, well, we can't just be throwing darts at each other. Let's make it softer.
Yeah, let's find something that won't hurt faces, you know? I think so. But anyway, yeah, it's easier to see that being like a street game. There again, it's easier to see Mako or Bolin having come across this random game. Like, yeah, kids play it in the street all the time. And Korra, not having been from here, for example, be like, what? And Asami having no clue up there in her lofty loft or wherever she is. Hey, thanks for talking basketball / Avatar with us on the one day of the year that makes sense. We usually try to have a bracket something, but I said we are usually in con, I feel like, on the first Saturday of the event. Because KU frequently loses on the first Saturday of the event, so it feels like that usually crosses paths. Still haven't forgiven Arkansas for that one. It's 2 years ago even. But yeah, thanks for watching. Tell us what you think. Which athletes are we underestimating here? Who did we leave off that we should have added? Ty Lee's secretly sharpshooter. Tiny Steph, that's what they call her. Thanks for watching. My name's Sean Shaler. That's Chris Ford, aka The Objective Geek. I'll put all the stuff in the description. Any positive interactions you can leave with us would be greatly appreciated. And we will see you next time.